Look at the 10-6 San Francisco Giants. How about that? Second best record, well, in the West, third best record in the National League, only behind the Mets and the Dodgers. I know it's only 16, but it's 16.
Hey.
On the other side, you got the Philadelphia Phillies at 8-8, taking one on the chin from their old guy, Gabe Kapler, even though they tried to boo him, even though they tried to Howard Eskin him.
Yeah, no,
so
Howard,
let's go to Boots.
I really, really don't know.
Let's go to the Boots on the ground. We have our man in Philly. We sent him out there from the West Coast to infiltrate Philly Nation and report back.
No, I really
Philadelphia
do.
Philly radio broadcaster, San Jose Sharks super fan.
Come on, man.
The pride of Bellarmine Prep, Kevin
Franny.
Franzen.
Yes.
What's up, boys?
Yeah, man.
Happy Special Botanist Day, huh?
You know what?
Yeah,
very good. Brady.
You imagine
yes.
Copes and Polly are wearing boutonnieres today, or
yeah.
whatever.
Oh, like, absolutely! You know. It must be
boutonnieres,
yeah. Fragrant, huh?
Yeah,
very
good.
Fragrant boutonnieres. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, I need, because you know me and hockey, buddy. So I need the Franny Marlowe love before we go anywhere.
Can you believe it though? Like a San Jose Shark has an all-time record that to me. It makes more people so upset out here on the East Coast because, you know, it's like, oh, San Jose is not a true hockey town. You had a dude that's 12 seasons in a row that hasn't missed a game in hockey.
That's insane. Yeah.
Right?
Insane.
And so you're looking at this going, this is, what an incredible feat. And you look at Patrick Marleau, the guy never slowed down. I mean, the scoring and stuff has, but, I mean, most guys, when they get older, they lose their speed. The guy's still like a top 10%. 10%er in the game.
Those guys,
still
Franny,
flies around.
Those guys in the NHL, seriously, to your
they're
point,
different.
Like, and I'm not kidding. They're not familiar with the term load management.
No. And that's isn't that the coolest part?
Like, yeah.
The game
is.
Has
I
never changed
that.
Really on that end. And so, what a moment. And for me, you know, knowing Patrick a little bit and over the years, just as humble, I mean, the guy doesn't still want to talk about himself. Come on.
No, these guys.
He's a small Mr. Hockey.
He's like a farm kid from Saskatchewan, right? I mean,
they're
like
very
he's
humble.
Got,
yeah.
This
yeah.
guy doesn't
and
come
about,
from like a silver spoon background here.
No.
You know?
How about the fact that like Gordie Howe, I mean, he's from Saskatchewan as well.
Yeah,
going,
yeah.
Wait, how is this even possible? The two guys, like,
yeah. I've never been to Saskatchewan, but I better walk around and just start looking at these dudes going, you guys are some tough hombres, man.
Yeah, it was
so.
pretty awesome. Pretty awesome, pretty special, and one that I think that, you know, the whole Sharks organization obviously takes pride in, but they celebrated it as it should be. And, you know, for everyone there, it's an incredible feat.
There you go. Wanted to get a little Sharks love there, man. I remember when you
Absolutely.
Got so much grief. You got so much grief for holding that Sharks territory sign at Citizens Bank Park, right?
Yeah.
Remember that?
You know, yeah, hey. And it was a year that the Flyers didn't even make the playoffs. It's like, what? It's my team. I don't care. Like, I'll never change to another team. This is my squad.
Your team. That's a perfect transition to your town, buddy. Your new, your adopted hometown.
Yeah.
How could I don't? Gabe Kapler was there for 2 years. It wasn't like he was there for 20 years.
Yeah.
He went .500 basically. It wasn't like he went 40 games under, and yet Philly wants to give him the business. They want to give him the business. What's going on, man?
They do.
Well,
there's
just multiple. This is a very
complex.
Pull back the onion. Yeah.
Okay.
So when you're trying to change. In air quotes, change game around here in a very traditionalist-like way, right? I mean, you look at Philly and, you know, for baseball, they want it a certain way. They want the baseball, you know, talked about a certain way. And you try to change the narrative on that, and which is fine. Like, everyone has the right to do that. It's just, you know, in an area where it's accepting of it. And I don't think it worked as well. And I don't know if you probably heard the Howard Eskin question.
Yes. Yes.
He's the one that asked the coconut oil question, you know, from the original presser.
Right.
And that moment right there, if I'm Gabe, do you know what? That's the reason why Philly fans didn't really get attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would have said, absolutely, this means the world. Winning right here in Philadelphia means absolutely the world to me. And instead, it's like, no, I'm really focused on my – no, like, that's so disingenuous.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is a part of the reason why there wasn't that full love for him here.
Now, that's a great answer that he the way he went about his business sort of offended Philly's sensibilities in a way. Like, you know what I mean? They want the meat and potatoes guy.
Absolutely.
They don't want the corporate guy.
Right. They want real emotion.
The other part, too, he backed up his players ad nauseum, right? Like, he went out of his way to back up players, and fans did not like that. I mean, we didn't really like it because there was sometimes it was, this guy had a great at bat off the bench, 9-pitch at bat. Well, he punched out with the bases loaded. I don't want to hear that. You know, like, but it went out of the way to go do it. And sometimes you just want to be like, look, we sucked today. Like, flat out, we sucked. And you know what? People around here, what I've learned is if you just do that, you don't have to crush a player. You don't have to be like, that guy was the worst player ever today. No, you don't have to do that. But we sucked today. I, as a manager, put them in a bad spot. Guess what? People get attracted to that. They want to be around that.
Yes.
And that's not that hard.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good call, man. And I have a few people in Philly, and one of them was just telling me, he goes, I just want him to, say it like it is and stop coating it in this corporate speak. And, we suck. Exactly what you just said. Exactly what you just said. So it was a bad fit. Do you think having a beat on both markets then, so Gabe's in the right market right now, right?
Absolutely. And the reason why I think Gabe is in the right market is because he's with the right person that is, ahead of him in Farhan. A guy that knows him and puts him in a spot where, a coaching staff can be a little different as far as experience wise. It doesn't have to be, 30-year big league, coaches or
Charlie Manuel
coach. Yeah. Like that type stuff. So it works and it's fine. And I think in a world where, there's a lot of change and acceptance of a lot of different things, it's a perfect spot, right? We're the most diverse area in the country. I mean, not here. I'm talking about with
the Bay.
Being in the Bay Area, and I just think it's perfect.
No, you're absolutely perfect. Right. He's doing these off-field initiatives to get,
and that's not fake.
Underrepresented demographics into baseball, So I think you're right. I think he's in the right spot. I mean, there's still some Giants fans who are the old Candlestick crowd that is more like Philly, a little bit more like Philly, that wants just Bochy and wins and baseball and all that. But there's a new generation coming in that's more like Kapler,
Sure. And the thing is, like, you still got the Brandon Belts, the Brandon Crawfords, the Buster Posey's that are there to help that out, right? Like a little bit, just to kind of like ease the, from completely leaving out the guys, the complete line changes they do with righties and lefties, which is amazing.
What do you think of that, by the way? Because he winds up on Saturday in Miami, he winds up, he's out of bench players.
Yeah.
Now, granted,
it works. It works, right, at times, and sometimes it doesn't. I totally get it.
Yeah.
I'm in the belief of, you want as many good players as you can, right? And if you can load up your roster where you can have this complete line change, like they do with the Dodgers, it's kind of a joke, too. It makes it for interesting times. But when you got guys like Brandon Crawford, when you got guys that you could put out like Evan Longoria every day, Yastrzemski against a righty or lefty, fans get attracted to that. Not just like, well, we got this guy, we got the righty lineup in, like we got the lefty lineup in. I don't care. I like the guys that are out there every day.
Yes.
I like the instinctual part of the game. Yes. Guys that make the adjustment from a righty to a lefty, who can handle who. And you know what? Sometimes we shut it down real quick. This guy's 0-for-10 against lefties this year. Well, his back of the baseball card says that he rakes lefties. Let's keep it on.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Let's just not shut it down right now.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. The line change thing, I confess, is hard to get into.
Yep.
It is hard
to,
as a fan, to connect to, and you kind of lose track of the lineup a little bit. But I mean, Farhan would show you the data that shows us the right. They're 10-6. You know what's ironic?
That's the other part. It wins.
We're talking about the lineup when, in fact, they're not hitting. The Giants are pitching now. It's so funny because we had Farhan on right before the season. We're talking to Kevin Franzen, of course, the kid out of San Jose who's now doing his thing in Philly, former KBR head. We all know Franny. We love Franny. So here's the deal. Right before Farhan, the season started, Farhan came on. We said, well, give us the macro, man. What's the view? He goes, well, we have an offensive identity. We've figured out our platoons, our righties, our lefties. He goes, our big question is pitching. Here we are 16 games in, Franny, and they have a pitching identity, not a hitting identity. How do you kind of make sense of that?
Well, pitching and defense does win ball games, and it wins championships, too, in the sport, as obviously you guys know very well. Mm-hmm. Look, can it last? Absolutely it can last. I just don't know for how long. You got guys in, again, a part of that line change thing, the offense is going to go through these ebbs and flows, I think. because you're not hot. You don't have a guy that's going to go through a string of like, well, I got nine starts in a row, and you can make an adjustment, you know, from at a bat to a bat. So there's a lot of changes going on in fluidity for a lineup, I think, that goes with it. But pitching defense, especially with Longoria and Crawford, you know, on the left side, that's not going anywhere. Brandon Belt should have had at least one Gold Glove in his career. You look at that whole aspect of the infield, you're going, pitching and defense can win. And they're doing it.
Did we underrate the staff that he assembled? I mean, Gausman, you know, we've gone through his story. He's joining us today at 9 a.m. too. Before, he was a top five pick, first rounder for the Orioles. It's just that the Giants figured out how to use him. Did we underrate the DeSclafanis and the Aaron Sanchez's and the bullpens that he's kind of assembled, these Jake McGee's and Tyler Rogers's? I mean, somehow, some way, he found guys that were not headline grabbers at all, Franny. But right now, they're pitching it well.
Yeah, no, but the different looks that they give, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing. They have everything from submariners, lefty and righty now, with Selman in there. And the righty, Tyler Rogers, obviously, that you guys have seen plenty of, especially this year. Mm-hmm. But they have all different angles, which I think, you know, last year the Rays were showing the clock, right? They kept on showing on the networks and, oh, this is their bullpen. They got every part of the dial. And it's like, well, that's what we've always said. Just have different looks. The more you have, the variety. Guess what? It worked. Sergio Romo, Javier Lopez, you think that was a different look for everyone?
Yeah, right. Right.
You know, to have a sidewinder from the left side and right side that actually dominate. I mean, it's incredible to think that, like, everyone's going, oh, man, this is a new concept. No, it's been done plenty before, right? Yeah. And it wins. So I'm not really surprised about the bullpen because, I mean, you saw it last year. The guys that were starting to throw 95 to 100, you know, consistently out of the Giants' bullpen, and we had to make an adjustment here in Philadelphia. And we were the worst bullpen of all time, literally, in a 60-game season. And we got a couple guys that are throwing, you know, 100 now, one being Coonrod, who, by the way, walked his first guy last night. It took only 7 games, which is incredible.
Couldn't believe I was seeing Coonrod out there, by the way.
Right.
I forgot that he was there.
He's been dominating, yeah. Anyway, we'll move on that one. And then we'll just continue on. Like, for me, this staff, the starting staff, the Gausmans and the Cuetos, when he's healthy, that's for real. The Aaron Sanchez is still the wild card. You have no idea, you know, because of all the different types of injuries he's had. That's the one that questions me. DeSclafani, I've always liked as a Red. He's got a nasty two-seamer that rides in on the hands, and you're just like, ugh. Like, I want my thumbs back every time.
Right. Well, Farhan just finds – what do you think of the fact that he's assembled basically a team of short-term guys? Like, there's a way to look at it. Like, he's got guys motivated because they're not playing for – they're not fat and happy. The longest-term contract on the team right now is Tommy La Stella at 3 years. For fans, like, we don't even know, like, who's on the team next year. What do you, as an old player, what do you make of that strategy where in that clubhouse, none of those guys is guaranteed next year?
Well, it's a Belichick way of his assistant coaches, right? I mean, like, all one-year deals, like, prove it to me. That's how he does it. So, I don't know. There's got to be a big move coming at some point, right? I mean, you got to have someone. The stars do win. We do know that. And it's finding that right star and doing that.
Let me pause you right there, actually, Jeff, does that count Bryce Harper?
Yeah, absolutely.
But has Philly won with Bryce Harper, though?
Well, it's a matter of what he's assembled. What I'm saying is what he's assembled. You do have to get a star, a couple of them in there. Part of the being a great fan base is having the people to go for. It's not the A's. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's not this rollover when you know, the guys are up after 6 years and they're free agent. We'll let them be. That's not how you build the true fan base. You build it off of Brandon Crawford's, the Belts, the Posies, the Bumgarners, all that. And then everything around it, the supplement parts, right? Like, what they have built is great. Now you got to supplement it with that star power, the couple guys that are going to come in and they could change things. Because I think with Bryce, especially here, we haven't won because we haven't had all the supplement players, right? Our bullpen last year was terrible, just absolutely horrendous. And now that you're getting the pieces around it and you're starting to see it, they kind of did it a little bit backwards because you have to have the foundation and everything before you get that big piece. And you know, I think where the Giants are, if they can attract someone, you know, of the caliber, if they go move away from Brandon next year at shortstop, I mean, there's a couple out there still.
Yeah, that's the big talk, the big shortstop stuff. So basically, the macro on you, and I want to end it with a curry on you, but the macro
is that you're
impressed by the Giants, but you're also saying, let's just see how it plays on the long haul?
No, I mean, look, the division is – you have a team that's hungry, right? You have a team that's that's been said, oh, there's no way you're even going to get to second place in your division, written off completely. So I won't write off a team that is talented, that is – pretty deep, actually, if you think about it, when we talk about the line changes. And, you know, they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder because it's not even about winning the division. It's about, hey, you guys can't even beat the Padres. Like, that would set me off a little bit. So, you know.
And they took 2 out of 3 from the Padres. There's a little bit of, you know, we had Brandon Crawford in Scottsdale and in Seattle on opening day, and he said both times in his very low-key Brandon way, he was like, you know, what people are saying on the outside is not what we're saying on the inside.
He's like, and then he hair flips, and then you're like, oh.
Right? He's just so likable, man. He's one of my all-time. He's the
dude, but then you bring up the other guy. He's more likable.
Which guy? The catcher? Or the first baseman?
Curry.
Oh, the other guy, number 30. Yeah.
Oh, bro.
Dude, you have one job, Franny, and that's to walk around Philly, find every hardcore Philly head you know, and tell them Joel Embiid is not the MVP Steph Curry is.
Oh, I have.
We all saw it.
I have on air here. Oh. And everyone's like, no, there's no chance. I'm like, you guys realize what he's doing has changed the game forever, and what he's done this season is stupid.
Yes.
Week, he would be third all-time, right, in the 10 you know, made 3-point baskets. I'm like, wait, what? Third all time? Just this week?
You just got to watch the games. Like, they played the Nuggets and the Sixers in the last 10 days, and it's supposed to be Jokic and Embiid, and I'm telling you, Steph ran these guys off the floor.
Remember all the stuff that, you know, Steph needed this guy and this guy to be
here.
It's like,
totally.
Why is the talk not like, well, he doesn't need those guys to be this? Like, could you imagine if Clay, like, would it be the same with Clay here? Yeah, I think actually it would. I think it would be disgusting if Clay was still healthy and eligible to go. But I mean, like, because he would actually have someone that wants to score to help out on the other end.
Yeah.
Right? And this is all by himself.
No, and he's playing, Franny, I honestly think, and Paulie and I have talked about this, I'm not sure. I think he's playing his best basketball ever.
Oh,
he might be.
Because the turnover, if you think about it too, turnovers are way down for him comparably to, you know, those years where he was just throwing it away and he'd make these crazy passes. So, I mean, like, you add in that part of the game. I mean, the guys do it. Was it Anthony Slater that wrote it the other day? It was like, he's at 55, 50, and 90 in the April games. 55 field goal, 50% from three. And you're going,
he's shooting 52. 52.9 from three in the last 11 games.
That's stupid.
That's what I'm telling you. So just go tell everybody, all right? Say, hey, listen.
No, spread the word, Franny. Hoop here.
Yeah.
God.
Like, hey, last one. How are the Phillies going to win the East this year or no?
It's a damn good division. It's unbelievable.
Dude, you get to see Acuna 19 times. How lucky are you?
Dude, actually, as a broadcaster, awesome. It's amazing.
That's
because
what I'm saying.
There's so much stupid talent around here in the youth in the East.
Soto.
When you guys saw, with Soto, I mean, the Ted Williams of right now, which is the fact. And then you look at, you know, the Marlins with the staff that they have, the young guys with Alcantara and Lopez.
The Marlins just messed with the Giants,
Dude, their arms are no joke. So, it's amazing. You can't write off the Nationals ever because, you know what, they won a title in 19. And to me, that means something.
Franny, tell me this. Acuna just scored from second on a 6-3 putout. I only heard Lon Simmons say Willie Mays did that. I can't think of anybody else who's done that.
Well, this one, I don't know. It was kind of a weird play because Javi Baez started to do like a roll. Like, he just started rolling. And you're going like, what's he doing? Like, playing on the ground like my toddler, like the little Dalen over here.
All right.
I'm going like, what is this?
He's tumbling. Yeah.
But I'm not going to say that was a very instinctual play. Like, Willie Mays was an instinctual play. This one was just like, I'm going.
Yeah.
Stop me.
God, he scored. He tagged up from second. He tagged up from third on a pop-up to shallow center.
Now, that was awesome. Because think of it as a hitter. Like, you're going from like, oh, my God. Like, Albies was if you saw him, he put his head down because he was so mad. It was a pitch that he could drive.
Yeah.
And he popped it up, and he's just like thinking so disappointed. And next thing you know, he's like, Zach Fly! He's the happiest guy in the dugout. He's jumping up and down. You're like, oh, dude, to have that moment. I never had that with like a guy that fast on third base. You're going, oh, it would be so good. It'd be so good.
You get to see him. Last one, Franny. Come on now. Trey, or Justin?
Who's it going to be, man? Yeah.
Who do you want?
Who do I want? If we were down lower, I mean, I like Mac Jones as a quarterback, but at three, I don't know. You got to go with someone that's special. The whole thing for me, to be honest with you guys, I want Najee more than anything. I think it would be an awesome story to have that, you know, that running back, that guy that could catch it out. Because his story from Antioch, I watched him in high school going like, this guy, it was DJ Williams of De La Salle when we were seniors. Together, it was like watching him, but maybe even better, right? I mean,
Najee's a beast. Yeah.
Oh God, he's amazing. So yeah, good for him. To be honest with you, I bet you it's gonna be like a Justin Fields, but I like Mac Jones because like the dude just won, and the most important thing for me, you know how he handles adversity. He doesn't transfer to another school because he didn't get a chance to play and start his first 2 years. Guess what he did? He got better and basically ends up winning the job, you know, and forcing Tua to leave. And next thing you know, he's a national champ.
It's a hell of a thing. It's a hell of a price to pay for Mac Jones. Man, I tell you.
No, and that's why I'm saying at three, I don't know. No.
All right, well, week from Thursday, buddy. Fun, Franny. Best to the family. Hug to the cute kids.
Good hearing
you,
man.
Enjoy Kapler and the fanatic of making fun of his abs and all that, dude. So.
The fanatic is phenomenal. The fanatic can't beat it. But no, I miss the Boch and the fanatic stuff. I mean,
the head.
Oh, it was the best. So good.
Be good, Franny.
We'll see you guys.
See you, Franny. Be good,
Kevin,
man.
Kevin Franzen, the Bay Zone, doing his thing.
Yeah, he's one of our own, no doubt.
That was fun. Good wide-ranging chat. All right, let's get ready for Dwayne Kuiper. The Power Hour is coming up on KMBR 104.5 and 680, the Sports Leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.